Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I am really excited to talk to you after this wonderful New Year's and this great new possibility for 2016 that we are now developing for our lives. And that's the topic of today, is looking at what we can create for our lives now. New Year's resolutions, but actually doing something about them. Today, you are listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry on KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial, archived, and we do now have our YouTube channel that's getting going through the sponsored nicely by the Art and Counseling Center, which is nice of them to do. And today, we've got a lovely guest, one of my fantastic interns, Elizabeth. Say hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
And Elizabeth will be going through with us more details of how we can actually manifest what we want. You are listening to KRUU FM 100.1, and I have people email us. And I want you to be able to email us any questions, comments, thoughts, ideas for radio shows, or anything else. My email directly is Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at Ardent Center. Ardent is A-R-D, as in dog, E-N-T as in Tom, Center, Scott at ArdentCenter.com. And if you have any questions or thoughts, I want to read one of my emails from last week that from a guy named Brad. Thank you, Brad, for sending in a wonderful email. His statement was, "It has been interesting to hear your radio show grow over the last few months. Today's show is particularly important and moving. Thank you for speaking out and clarifying those things many of us have hidden in ourselves for years." God, I love that how you said that, Brad. Thank you so much. And that show, and I encourage everybody to listen to it at some point, that show was regarding some of the suicides that have been happening and is getting better now in this town because we're getting rid of the stigma and making a difference here. And it's important for everybody to remember, especially as you talk about this grand new year, that sometimes things are difficult. And it's important to be able to reach out and get support and go, you don't have to be alone. There is another way. There is a way for your life to work, for all our lives to work, and to make a difference in the lives of others as we make a difference in the lives of ourselves. Is there any other way you'd say that, Elizabeth?
That sounded pretty good to me.
All right. So let's jump into the topic today. And the topic idea is really thinking about New Year's resolutions. An interesting way to how would you introduce the topic?
Well, I would say that right now there is a lot of hate against New Year's resolutions. A lot of people, a lot of internet articles saying how ineffective New Year's resolutions are. And I would say that while that can be very true, that people make these very bold resolutions and then don't keep them, we want to talk about how you can keep them and how you can decide what resolutions really mean to you and which ones are really important.
And how you could actually decide to make your life better at this point, because it really is your choice. Your life can get better. Yes, it can get worse, but you can choose to make it better within the parameters that you have. We all have limitations. It doesn't mean that I'm going to all of a sudden decide, you know, I'm going to exercise and I want to join the Olympics and be in the Olympics next year. The goal is not to be something outside my realm. It's to be who I can be. I don't need to be in the Olympics. I'm not sure I'd really want to, though it'd be kind of fun for a few minutes. I just need to be healthy and be the guy that I need to be. And so I want to start off thinking about this conceptually a little bit. And what's really behind our resolutions? What's really behind the goal of, I want to be a healthy guy next year? It sounds really abstract. And I could make it more concrete and say, well, I want to exercise more than next year. That's a goal that every one of us should have. Okay. So I could just say that's a universal goal. But if we start thinking about that, what does that actually mean? Sometimes we get lost in the big words, the keywords. Oh, this, you know, I want to be a healthy guy. Well, what does that actually mean? What does it actually even mean to say, I'm going to exercise? What does it mean that I'm actually going to be in my body and be healthy and really engage in being in my body, my vehicle, my way to think clearly and do something in this world? We're broadcasting from Iowa, and you might be listening to this from wherever, and we're sort of inundated with the political season. We're recording this on January 5th, 2016, and it is political season here, and it drives me a bit crazy here because things are also very extreme. And you have politicians that also want to make things extreme, because people buy into that. It really hits our core. It hits our primal brain, fight or flight. And those bad people are coming after us. Those terrorists are coming after us. They're going to come get us. Well, what does that actually mean? If we actually start thinking about what these phrases are that these people throw around, that is often an incredible amount of BS with. And if you want to know what's maybe behind it, you could always look at factcheck.org or some of those other sources that actually will say, hey, those politicians, and every single one of them says things that are outrageous. Okay, so if we think, okay, we're going to get rid of all say the bad words, we're going to get rid of Muslims and Mexicans and, I don't know, this group and that group. And we're setting up this system of an us versus them. Apart from the absurdity that it can't happen, apart from the absurdity of somebody's just playing off your fears, terrorism, they're out to get you. What does that actually mean? Are you really about to die of a terrorist attack? They're terrible. They make the headlines. They're terrible. You know, it's this. But are they really going to come and get you? Are you not 1,000 times more likely to die because you smoke or drink or drive a car or walk on ice and about to fall sometime? Or, you know, the likelihood of you doing damage to yourself. You know, we talk about the statistics of gun violence in this country, a very controversial topic, but it's so much more likely that if you get a gun, you will hurt yourself or somebody you know than you will ever do to some robber trying to steal your TV that you don't care about to begin with. It doesn't mean that guns can't be useful, and it doesn't mean, you know, this whole controversy about the Second Amendment or whatever that is, but we get down to what is it we're really wanting. And if we're wanting safety, how do you actually create safety? What do you think, Elizabeth?
That makes a lot of sense to me. How do you actually create safety? What I was wondering about was, what happens if you do that kind of soul searching and it turns out that your resolution is actually grounded in something pretty unhealthy? What do you do then? Like, maybe I want to lose weight, and I do a lot of soul searching, and it turns out that the real motivation behind that is that I'm looking for the approval of the people in my life. I'm obsessed with the approval of people in my life. Mm. What would you do with that kind of situation? Would you work on changing that original goal, that original desire, or would you try to manifest it in a different way?
I love the question because, okay, so in this society, you happen to be a female, if somebody couldn't tell by listening on the radio, and you have a wonderful boyfriend who is another intern of ours. Kyle is a great guy. And, you know, it's like, I want to lose, you know, not 10 pounds this, you know, in the next couple months and in a healthy way. No, I want to lose 50 pounds next week. You know, mm-hmm. And I want to starve myself and hurt myself. this binging that we all get stuck in. You know, I think of it as an ADD mindset that the society's stuck in. That doesn't mean that ADD is not real, by the way, everyone, and that it's not overdiagnosed. In fact, it is way, way underdiagnosed and misdiagnosed so much of the time. That doesn't mean that we have an ADD mindset of the society where everything is, and ADD, by the way, is this alternation for most people, not all people, between one spectrum or the other of being under-focused and defocused and, you know, jumping around and hyper-focused or like a laser beam, can't see the forest through the trees. And some people have impulsivity on it and hyperactivity. And so, but the society is like this, that it's an all or nothing kind of thinking, that I am either going to do it right now or I'm never going to do it, or I'm going to overdo it and then hurt myself. So we come back to the New Year's resolutions. I want to be a healthy guy. So, you know, hey, I'm going to get myself together and I'm going to do a marathon next week. Well, I'm not really running, right?
You could hurt yourself.
I could hurt myself. So what's a healthy way to do it?
Right. Right.
And I love the analogy of the politicians who are fear-mongering to get to manipulate. And it is a manipulation, and you need to get that you're being manipulated. What is it you want? So if a politician says the word buzzword freedom, we love freedom and we're going to get you more. Well, what is the freedom you actually want? What is the freedom that they're talking about? You know, the freedom to not pay taxes? Okay, that sounds great. But if you dig underneath it, if there's no taxes, there's no roads, there's no hospitals, there's no schools. Okay, I want the freedom to.
I want the freedom to have as much money as I want.
Okay, that sounds great. And we should all get rich. Except what's the problem with that?
We can't.
We can't.
It's not happening.
It's not happening. And if, you know, if we're all rich, you know, then how does that work in a society?
Right.
Right? Does then if we all have, if we're all starting, if we've all inflated the dollar so that we're all essentially millionaires compared to some other country, we're still poor relative to who we are.
Right.
You know, because somebody else has $1 billion. And so now I'm, you know, and then if I'm a millionaire and everybody else is a millionaire, that means that loaf of bread still costs me $10,000. You know, it's, we have to really allow ourselves to think what's behind what we're wanting to create. So start with the bigger vision. So when we get, let's get back to this notion of New Year's resolutions. What's the bigger vision that I'm wanting to create for my year, for my life, for my year, for my month, for my week, for my day, for this next hour? What is my vision? The vision is really about who I am. Who do I want to create myself to be? Not based upon solely on my past. And this is my beef with a lot of psychology, is it's focused on what was, which often keeps you stuck in what was. You know, feeling more when you're feeling down doesn't necessarily help. It sometimes keeps you stuck in feeling the way you're feeling. Sometimes you need to shift. Get out and do something about what you're feeling. If I'm thinking about something and I'm assessing about my relationship or my bad relationship, maybe I need to do something and create myself who I need to be, not focus on the relationship. So, you know, Elizabeth wanted to lose 50 pounds, which is maybe a bit excessive for Elizabeth because she would cease to not exist anymore. What's behind that, right? How can she actually create something with that vision? And then we move from that vision to our goals. Our goals are really, why are we doing what we're doing? What are those politicians doing? What is behind our goal of, you know, wanting to lose the 50 pounds or our goal to be healthy this year? Why are we doing what we're doing? Then we get into a game plan. What are we actually going to do? And then the final step is, how are we going to do it? Our action steps. When are we doing it? Where are we doing it? How are we doing it? Make it concrete. So it's not enough to say, I want to be a healthy guy next year. Walk it down. Who is that healthy guy, right? That's who I am. I'm a healthy guy. That's my vision. So why am I doing that? Because I want to be in this body and think clearly and make a difference in the world and be happy and have a purpose. Okay, great. And then what am I actually going to do? Well, I think what I'm going to set up is this is my game plan, is that I am going to work out at before I start my day. So at 8:30 to 9:30, for some reason, that's going to work out for me. And I'm going to go to the gym 3 days a week and lift. And 3 days a week, if it's warm enough, I'm going to go out and jog. And if not, I'm going to jump on a trampoline or do a little something, a mini tramp, or who knows. So I'm going to create something to get a mixture in my life and create myself to be that. I'm going to follow that up with eating healthy, because exercising healthy and not eating healthy doesn't work. And not sleeping enough also will destroy. So again, I got to get the whole package. And then we get back to those last steps. How am I doing it? When am I doing it? Well, I said I was going to do it at 8:30 in the morning, every morning, 5 to 6 days a week. Okay, sounds like a good game plan. So we walk it down from the abstract to the details. And this is where Elizabeth is going to come back in and tell us what we're going to talk about. But you are listening to KRUU FM 100.1 on your FM dial. And this is Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terrier. And today we're talking about New Year's resolutions and how to make them happen. Okay.
All right. So there's a wonderful journal article by a guy named Norcross that came out in 2002. And in it, he talks all about this very issue of New Year's resolutions. And one of the most important things in the article is this idea that there's an action stage and a contemplation stage in the making and keeping of any resolution. So Scott was talking a lot about the contemplation stage, figuring out why you're making your resolution, what it's all about. And that's great and important, but you can get very, very easily stuck in that. So don't. You got to move on to your action stage. And so what we're going to be talking about now is just tips and ideas for making that action stage as effective as it possibly can be. So another thing that's part of this article is some qualities of successful people who make resolutions versus unsuccessful ones. So to start with the unsuccessful ones.
But you also said there was some really funky statistics out
there.
Oh,
yeah. There's this 8% floating around the internet. You will find it if you look up articles about resolutions, for sure. So there's a study in the Scranton Journal of Clinical Psychology that says, in fact, that 8% of people who make resolutions are successful. However, it's completely unclear any of the details about that. What does that mean that they're successful? 8% of resolvers from what year? In what population? In what country?
What is success?
What is success? Does it mean that it was actually specifically they keep their resolution or they achieve their resolutions? Okay. What does that actually mean? Does that mean, so I set a resolution to lose 50 pounds, I lose 25 pounds and keep them off. Does that mean that I don't qualify for having achieved my resolution?
Or your resolution is to lose 50 pounds, which is insane.
Right.
Right? Like I'm going to go to the politicians again.
Go for it.
Yeah. So, you know, some crazy thought of we're going to be against these things. Right? So losing 50 pounds isn't a good success for you. If you lost that, it would be unhealthy. Right? So it's coming up with a resolution that works for you, that makes a difference in your life, that actually works for you in your life.
Right. There's another more useful statistic, I think, which is that people who actually make resolutions are something like 10 times more likely to achieve some of their goals than people who have goals but don't set a resolution, or who have an idea of what they want to achieve for themselves, but who don't actually make that formal act of setting a resolution.
Well, and then creating the game plan to actually make that happen.
Right.
So you have to be able to walk it through. And again, not binge and purge with your things, right? This is the time of year when gym membership skyrockets. God, right. I remember being at a gym in Chicago, and January and February, oh my God, you can't get a machine to save your life. You have to go at 4 a.m. to get in, right? It's crazy. But you know, you wait till, you know, end of February, March, hey, there's nobody in the gym.
Right.
It's completely abandoned. You know, it's coming up, and people who run gym memberships know this.
Right.
So it's kind of like coming up with, how am I going to actually not achieve my goal this day, this week, this month, but 6 months from now, how am I going to stay on my goal? That's the mission here.
I have set the goal of becoming a runner so many times in my life, and it has never worked because my knees hurt every time I run. I don't have a runner's body. It doesn't work for me, at least at this point in my development. I also have tried going to gyms. I hate being in a gym. The experience of being in a gym is very anxiety provoking for me. So I have found that the resolution that works for me is to say, I would like to be healthy by walking outside. I love nature. I love the experience of being outside, even if it's really cold. And that works really well for me. So think about who you actually are when you're setting a resolution.
And if you wanted to push that, let's say the walking, you need more than that. Then maybe you start walking really fast, mm-hmm. like you're late all the time. Or maybe you learn to ride a bike and ride a bike faster.
Yep.
Something. But again, it's working with who you are in your body. I actually love gyms.
Mm-hmm.
They're like my favorite places mm-hmm. to hang out. You know, but that's me. I'm a weird guy, you know, and I, you know, talk to people and I listen to lectures and, you know, it's a time when I have time off.
Right. So people are different.
People are different. All right, so keep going down
your
list.
Okay, so basically, to sum it up without giving you every single point, people who make resolutions and are not successful generally participate in certain habits of mind, like self-blame. That's a big one that Scott talks about all the time, that blame and shame and guilt are the enemies of change.
Thank you.
And so that's not going to work for you. Also, wishful thinking as opposed to positive thinking. The idea of thinking, oh, if only I looked like this, if only I were like this, if only I could stop smoking, that doesn't help. That's not empowering to you. That's giving you this idea that you need some kind of magical power outside of yourself to get these things done, where really you have the ability yourself. And then some qualities of people who are successful are basically comes down to strategies. It comes down to strategies of how to avoid. One is avoidance strategies, how to keep away from the things that tempt you, reinforcement management. Can you speak on exactly what that comes
well,
down
it's,
to?
Well, it's again, it's coming up with that game plan and how you're going to do those action steps to reinforce the small successes.
Yep.
So instead of going, hey, I went to the gym, but, you know, I didn't really lift what I wanted to, or I went outside to run, but I was too tired and I couldn't run very much. But at least I went, you know, it's like get the small success. You made it outside. You went for the half an hour. You moved your body. You connect mm-hmm. it. Even more than just moving body is connecting to being in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Associating as opposed to disassociating.
Mm-hmm.
Connecting to being in your body, because that's the goal. The goal is really about connecting and doing what your body needs today. listening and hearing what you need from you. So reinforcing your successes.
Mm-hmm. I've been hearing a lot lately about the difference between working hard and working smart.
Oh, yeah.
And I like that idea. I think that people often go crazy with how hard they work when really what they really need is intelligent strategies for managing the work that they have. And I think that on along a similar line, that works with making and keeping resolutions, that it's people get stuck in this idea that in order to make a change in your life, you need to have this tremendous, almost superhuman amount of willpower. And willpower is one aspect of making a change, but it's not the only thing. And it's also not something that some people have and some people lack. That's not right. If you're having trouble with willpower, that you either have an issue with your notion of yourself, your ability to think positively about change, or you just don't have the right strategies yet. It's not that you fundamentally lack willpower as a human being. These things can yes. change and develop.
Absolutely.
So that's a self-defeating attitude to think that, other people can make changes in their lives, but I can't because I'm not that kind of person. I don't have willpower.
Well, and I think willpower is a fallacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the notion that I want to lose that 50 pounds, and why do all diets fail? Why does dieting always fail? Because it relies on willpower. Because you can do it, that binge and purge. I could do it for a week, maybe mm-hmm. for a month. 6 months from now, you're going to have some stress in your life, and you're going to go, oh, that chocolate cake, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is for you, you know, and it's like, no.
And if you have that all or nothing idea of change in your life, then eating that one chocolate cake is going to completely derail you. So if you're trying to change to a more healthy pattern of eating, and occasionally something sneaks in that's delicious and decadent, and you decide that you're a horrible person and you can't do anything, that's not going to work for you.
No, in fact, it does the opposite. It destroys you. It's sort of like when people are trying to stop drinking or smoking. They will fail. Everybody fails.
Mm-hmm.
The problem isn't with our failures, and that's a really important thing to learn in our last minute or so here, is that we will all fail.
Yes.
Every single one of us in our attempts to create our New Year's resolutions. Again, what do they say? It's not about our failures. It's about
recovering from our failures, figuring out how to move forward from our failures.
And getting up again.
Yep.
Right? I love that song, Chumbawanga. You know, it's we get knocked down, but we get up again. And it's like getting up again. I would play that for clients over and over again. I just love that
song.
Because it's that notion. It's like you're going to fail on this process. The problem isn't the failing. It's learning from the failures.
Mm-hmm.
That's trial and error. It's the greatest learning thing of any learning task ever, is trial and error learning. That's how we all learn. We fail. How many relationships do you go through till you find one that works? You know, how many times do you go through a certain way of living? You know, allow yourself to grow. We're all growing.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no failure here in these resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else you want to say to?
Social support is the one thing that I wanted to mention, that have your friends help you to help hold you accountable for what you're doing. Not in a shame-based way, but in a friendly, loving way. Tell people about your resolutions, people you trust, and see if they can help you to keep them. Because sometimes it's hard to do that all by yourself.
Absolutely. And allow yourself to get that you're not beholden to your past.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to change. Anyways, it's time to, once again, move on to our making this happen. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for joining us today.
Thank you, Scott.
And good luck, everyone, in creating your new world for yourselves now. This is Mental Health Matters, KRUU 100.1. Bye.
Bye.